Tales from the Wild. Stories from the heart. A journey into the mind and soul of fired-up business professionals where they share their vision for the future. And hear from a different nonprofit organization every month as they create awareness of their goals and their needs. Dive into a world of untamed passion as we join our host, Shireen Buerta, for this month's episode of Friends from Wild Places.
Good morning, good day, Wild Hearts. Shireen here. I'm your podcast's bookkeeper and QuickBooks advisor. What I always say is if you're looking for a bookkeeper, firstly, know exactly what you're looking for. Know what personality best suits you. Are you looking to just hand your financial records over to someone and not hear from them again unless necessary? Or are you looking for someone who has full transparency and open communication, someone that takes the time to get to know the fingerprint of your business and builds a relationship with you on a daily basis? Well, then I am probably the bookkeeper for you. Call Shireen's Bookkeeping Services today. And if you want to know more, go check me out at www.shireensbookkeeping.com and allow me to keep your books clean so you don't have to. Welcome back. You are listening to Friends from Wild Places with myself, Shireen, and my awesome and fantastic co-host, Tanya. What is happening in your life today, Tanya?
Well, good morning, good afternoon, or good evening to our listeners and to you, Shireen. So I know you are calling in from South Africa, and I'm here calling in from Miami, Florida, United States. And today we are just here to have a Saturday morning chat. And I just am really super excited to really dive into the cultural differences, right? Just being women, having, you know, celebrated International Women's Day. And I know that was a conversation that you had. So I thought today would be a great opportunity to maybe just even get to know what it's like, you know, in your part of the world, maybe some of the similarities, some of the differences. So that's what this morning's podcast is all about. So to answer your question, Shireen, so in Miami right now, obviously with August, we are getting ready for back to school.
Right.
And the climate here is, in most parts of the United States, it's, you know, summertime. Okay. So very hot. I learned recently that San Diego is on the verge of getting a hurricane. And that's uncommon. Those are more popular here in Florida. And September is usually that time of year for us with hurricanes. So just wanted to start with, in your part of the world, Shireen, what's it like for you right now in August 2023? What climate are you in? What's the season like in South Africa?
Awesome. Well, thanks for the question. First of all, our seasons are completely opposite to you guys. Though our weather is very similar to Florida weather. I live in KwaZulu-Natal, the province of the land of the Zulus, where King Shaka, this was his home. So if you know anything about history, you would know about King Shaka and the Zulus. This specific province gets, it's very similar weather to Florida, so very high humidity, and especially in the summer, and very hot weather. It's pretty constant throughout the year. We don't really get very cold days. I think the coldest day that we can get, if I can think about it, it's probably 14 degrees. I know the lowest one we got was 11 degrees Celsius this time in winter, which is not, that's not normal. So that's quite cold. But normally it's a very, throughout the year, pretty either very hot or warm weather. So we are actually exiting our winter time now, and 1st of September will be the first day of spring for us.
Completely opposite of us here. And I already heard one difference, because in the States, most commonly, unless someone's in the science field, we use Fahrenheit.
Yes.
to describe. So it's interesting, even just in communication for what kind of weather and what kind of temperature, you know, and I know a lot of friends from the European countries also use the Celsius. So right. Very interesting.
Yeah. Yeah. And the metrics as opposed to miles. And so we do kilometers and all that. So it's very interesting. Yeah.
Right, right. Yeah. So, Shereen, so tell us, I know we've had, you know, quite a few podcasts together previously for me as your guest, and mm-hmm. then most recently as your co-host. So describe a little bit like your upbringing. So you were born in South Africa, right? Mm-hmm. And what was it like for you, like growing up? Like, you know, what kind of, you know, what was your childhood experience?
Okay, so I was born in a town called Port Elizabeth, which is actually in the Eastern Cape, if my geography is correct. If it's not, I'm sure the listeners that are from South Africa are going to be screaming at the speakers. But yeah, a little town called Port Elizabeth. We moved to Johannesburg when I was very young and stayed there for a while. And then from there, we moved down to the coast, which is here. When I say the coast, is KwaZulu-Natal, which is currently the position that I'm in now, in my childhood home with my parents, which I moved back in with them in February of this year. So my childhood, I don't remember a lot of it, but it was overall, I think, it was a very good childhood in the sense of I got a lot of opportunity that I think thousands of people did not get. I got an awesome education and my parents put me through not only school, but had food on the table every day. I was able to grow up in a privileged household in the sense of I got more than what the normal person would get. I don't know exactly what I mean by that because our family was just a very mediocre salary earning family, you know, but I'm basing my response to the thousands of people in my country that have no jobs and the thousands and almost 2 million of children that are growing up without an education. So that is a lot in this country. And so one would definitely look at my family and go, wow. You know, you had a lot growing up, and I did, and I'm not denying that. So I'm very thankful and I'm very grateful for that. My parents put me through school. They let me go overseas when I was 16 years old. Yeah, so to answer your question, I have been very blessed. Yes.
Yes, that's awesome. That's awesome. So in South Africa, and I hear, like, I want to, like, let's say, preface the listeners with when we discuss things, everything is relative to our perspective and our situation, right? So, for example, like the spectrum. So, like, what I'm hearing you say is from what you're describing, I would refer to that in the United States as like a middle class family. That's how we would refer to it.
And that is the correct word to say. Yes. Yeah.
Yeah. And myself too. I grew up in Connecticut, right between New York and Boston, Massachusetts up there. So Connecticut, very small state. And I was there primarily up until 2005. And mm-hmm. then my family and I relocated to Florida. So you had described, you know, the education as far as having, you know, that opportunity. So here in the States, you know, what's really interesting that I find is that educational opportunities are available, right, to all groups of people. Mm-hmm. And yet a lot of people don't pursue education right off the bat. Like, and mm-hmm. it's funny, like even myself, I mean, I was in my mid-30s when I went to a college. So I find it fascinating that some cultures, right? I have a lot of friends from Indian culture and Asian cultures that where education is stressed, like it's very important. Where I don't know, I mean, in the United States, sometimes it's like you have a lot of people that don't choose college as a path, and that's okay too, right? You know, that's okay too. So growing up in South Africa as a woman, what would you say was, you know, getting a job when you were of age? What is the age to work in South Africa? Here in the States, it's 16.
I don't think there's really a law about the age that you can start working. I think some people have to work, you know, as young as, you know, younger teens, just trying to get a little waitressing job to help the families. But yeah, about 16 sounds good. Hey, it sounds about accurate in the sense of when you can start working, if that is the option or that is the choice that you want to take. So yeah.
Mm-hmm. So here in the States, it's interesting because the age of 16 is when people can start working. And a lot of jobs that people would default to at 16, maybe some office work jobs, grocery stores, mm-hmm. things of that nature. Right. So what age did you actually start working? Like a paid job? Because here, I don't know, is it common? Do you have babysitting jobs where you watch younger children?
I mean, yeah. I mean, definitely. I mean, it's as common as one would think, but it is definitely common. Listen to me. It's not as common as one think, but it would be common. That's not normal, Shireen. Talk. No, it's not. It's for me, I didn't start babysitting for someone until I became an au pair and went to the United States and looked after people's children there. But I have heard of people that do babysit their, you know, their friends' kids or however. But for me, to answer your question, I started working when I was in school. I got my first job, I think, when I was either in grade 11 or grade 12. I think it was grade 11. And I had a waitressing job at a nursery next to the school that I was at. So, yeah.
Interesting.
When I was in school.
It sounds like, I mean, I don't know that much about the au pair opportunity job that you had, but that sounds like the official babysitter, right? Like, I don't think that's an official.
Yes. 100%. That was the official becoming a nanny, as one would
becoming
want to say.
Becoming a nanny. Wow. 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 As you know, I don't have a TV, but I love watching like Joe the Nanny. I don't know if you're familiar with like the YouTube episodes.
Yes, the UK lady.
Yes, the UK. Yes.
Yes, the British lady. She is amazing. Absolutely. Yes. So good with children, with getting the parents in line.
Yeah.
Yeah, she's really good. Yeah.
So, you know, so what brings me to a point in our conversation that it's so fascinating from my perspective. And I actually use Joe the Nanny in teaching mortuary school in some cases.
Love that.
Because I will actually show YouTubes about communication, right? And I think that's what it's all about. It's what we are basing our own understanding, right? And I mean, it's all about relationships with our marketing group, BNI. We all have, you know, we all come in with different expertises in different areas and different subject matter. But the communication and the breakdown of communication, whether it be industry, workplace, personal relationships, interpersonal relationships. I mean, I don't know, is the divorce rate high in South Africa? I mean, the statistic here in the States is alarming, you know? Mm-hmm. And it's like, you just wonder, like, you know, people start off like people, whether it's an arranged marriage or people, you know, come together that they like each other and they seek out to, you know, have a relationship and get married. Mm-hmm. And then the communication, something happens, right? Like, mm-hmm. like what is the turning point that something happens that starts to break down? Happens in business, happens mm-hmm. in friendships, you know? So mm-hmm. from your perspective, how and what do you think like communication is is taught? Is it taught in school or is it mostly just family? Because again, let's refer back to Joe the nanny. She goes into these homes. She doesn't know the family, right? And within a very short time, she's able to assess and redirect.
Right.
And people follow it. It's like an amazing, like all of a sudden people who have been living together now can have a better relationship from an outsider, right? Yeah. So what's your take on that, Shireen?
Communication in general? Good question. Very good question, Tanya. I think communication is not taught. And please understand, this is through my point of view and my eyes. You can get taught how to about the English language when you take the English in school, but that's not communication. Communication can come despite the language you speak. Communication is really important. And if you don't learn different ways to communicate correctly, you can, by all means, take on really bad ways of communicating, which can in turn sabotage your own relationships and hinder you from building correct relationships and so on and so forth. Even, I mean, in your personal life, in your marriage, in your business, communication is a massive thing to actually survive life in general. Unless you're going to be hiding under a rock and not planning to speak to anyone, which is sometimes how I feel like I would like to do, and not communicate with anybody, you got to learn how to communicate. Yeah, I've had a really hard time with that growing up in my life. Learning how to communicate correctly has been a very big challenge for me personally, in my personal life and, you know, in life in general and in business life. Something about English, you can say one sentence, but it can be taken in three or four different ways. So your intention of what you mean behind that one sentence could be taken in like four different ways, which is where miscommunication happens. And if you do not like literally stipulate exactly what you're trying to say, or the other party doesn't seek further in what you're trying to say, I'm sorry, Shireen, what did you mean by that? That's such a good sentence to have in your vocabulary. Tanya, what did you mean by that?
What did you mean by that? I'm going to write that one down, Shireen. Yeah, that is good. What did you mean by that?
Did I hear you correctly?
Yeah. Yes. Yeah.
Instead of taking what you think the person meant and getting offended by what that person said, taking on like this, getting like hurt by what the person meant, building a resentment towards the person because you think this is what that person meant when they said this. Instead, to try and avoid unnecessary things like that, asking, Tanya, what did you mean by that when you said that? Kind of can help you avoid many unnecessary moments where you build up this resentment and it's not even worth it because later you find out, oh no, Shireen, I didn't mean it like that at all. What I was trying to say was such and such and such. And then you've just spent, and I don't know how long, but I mean, you've just spent maybe a week all very upset with the person because you thought the person meant something completely different. So communication is a whole different ballgame than just learning a language. Not the same thing. And we are living in a world right now where communication is absolutely like horrid in general. And if you're watching right now, my camera has been playing up since the beginning of this podcast.
It's fine. I think it's these lights.
Or my hat.
It's fine. It's fine. I love your hat. So the communication part, though, and again, we all grow up in our individual family units. Mm-hmm. And what we learn, right, even from a very young age as a child, whether things are spoken about in the home or not mm-hmm. spoken about, or how we observe our families, brothers, sisters, parents, grandparents. Yeah. And that's what is just normal. And it's not even a matter of like we don't even know if the communication that we're observing in our own household is positive, negative, good or bad. It's just what we observe, right? Yeah. I mean, it's like
exactly, or the lack of,
or know? The lack of, yeah. So it's like,
sorry.
Yeah, that's amazing. It's amazing though when we really like. So we see our parents how they communicate, and then we're getting, you know, into adulthood, and now we're expected to, you know, if you have, you know, interpersonal relationships mm-hmm. and find out like, okay, I'm not communicating, but I wish I had the communication skills now than when I was, you know, a younger girl, you know, teenage girl, young adult. I think we could do a better job as a country, as a world, of teaching communication early on, and not just language skills, actually, you know, understanding basic, you know, understanding of nature. And I think the media, social media, and now with what different ways that we communicate, right? Mm-hmm. Back in the day, it was just verbal or usually mailing a letter. Now we have email, we have text, we have all different types of ways, you know, that we are communicating. And the other thing that I find fascinating is, what is the expected time for a response, right? Like with texting. Texting is almost like people expect that, you know, you're going to be available and responding to in that moment, when you could be in a different time zone, right, on a plane, out mm-hmm. of cell phone, but the expectation. So when people don't respond, it's like, oh, what did I do? Like the default is, did somebody do something wrong?
Oh my gosh.
It's fascinating, isn't it? Right. Like
it is. It is. And I mean, it doesn't really bother me much anymore, but I remember a time that when you would open up my letter, so there's, again, I've got to remember, again, we're talking about different countries now, and WhatsApp is an app that we've been using for messaging system for many, many years, and I think WhatsApp has now recently come into Florida, because there's a lot of people that are using it and that side, but there's not as many that are using it in California, which is the West Coast. So, yeah, so WhatsApp is 100% quite a big communication messaging system. And when you open the message, it shows a blue tick to the person on the other side that sent you the message. So you know, as a person, the sender, you know when the person has read your message or not. I used to get so mad if you blue ticked me. If you blue ticked me, it would be war. If you blue ticked me, I would phone you and tell you, how rude were you to blue tick me?
meaning that they saw your message and they didn't respond?
Correct. They read the message. They read the message and then didn't respond. Sorry.
Okay, so it's okay. So with that, so what was your immediate interpretation that let's just go back for a minute. So yeah. On text messaging, that would almost be like a read receipt, that people could see it. So what about if somebody, let me just play like what they were, use the word devil's advocate, right? Devil's advocate. So let's say somebody's in a meeting that happened to see your message and is doing a presentation and they're not able to respond.
100%, 100%. Like, as I said, you know, nowadays I'm so fine with it. It doesn't bother me at all. But I know it's like, you've got to understand that people are at different places. They're at work, they're in lectures, you know, whatever the case may be. But I do remember a time that it would irritate me, but now it doesn't bother me at all. But yeah, it's just amazing.
How did you get over that or get through it? Let's say,
I think it was just over time and just growth, I suppose.
Yeah, that's it. What was your initial response, that you were important or you didn't deserve? Like, what was it? What would you say? Like, what bothered you about it?
think, you know what? I think it might have been because I felt like the person was ignoring me, or that they thought that what I had to say wasn't important, maybe. I mean, whatever the case may be.
Yeah. So that almost sounds, I'm not a psychologist, but that almost sounds like a core belief that your story, right, is this, and now people are kind of fulfilling your belief about yourself, right?
Yeah.
Which
the problem wasn't with them. The problem was with me, 100%, because I think to be heard is one of the major things that I wanted and lacked growing up. And I think, again, it's so stupid. And I'm laughing at myself now because it is. It's stupid. It's embarrassing. And I should never have gotten.
No, but it's not stupid. It's not stupid because we all have core beliefs. Like we all have, like what, and I'm going to use the word like things that we now can trigger us, right? Like the word trigger.
Yeah.
But I think that stems from, and my daughter's therapist uses the phrase, and I've used it on different podcasts with you before.
Yes.
Hysterical is historical. I'm going to say that again. Hysterical is historical, meaning that if you have a reaction that is so extreme, whether it's anger or, you know, complete just upset, you know, fist clenched or crying or whatever that emotion, usually that defaults to some core belief that we're reacting to.
100%.
And we all have. But the interesting part is we have different core beliefs about different things because we're not all I think there's like 10 major core beliefs. But for example, if your core belief is about not being heard, right? And mine is about not being good enough, things that are going to trigger me have to do with not being good enough as opposed
100%.
To you not being heard.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Yeah. So it's almost like, so that's when you get into like the workplace communication. It's like, how come we can all hear the same thing from the same person? And some people think that's a fine statement and other people are triggered beyond belief. How could they have said that? Who do they think they are? Right. Like, I mean, communication in the workplace is a whole other, you know, level of, you know, just understanding. Tune in next week for part two from Friends from Wild Places.
You've been listening to Friends from Wild Places with Shireen Buerta. Be sure to subscribe to the podcast from the links to catch every episode and unleash your passion.